Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come this morning rejoicing that we can come here and praise you. We come to bow before you and to worship you as our Father, the Lord our God. And Father, as we worship you and we praise you, we come to give our very selves to you. So Lord, we give you thanks for everything that's happened this week, and we praise you that we can move and work and be to your glory. But sometimes, Lord, there's just times when we get it wrong. There's times when we don't follow your ways, or we slip from your ways. We say the wrong thing, we do the wrong thing, think the wrong thing. Or maybe it is just that we don't think to do the right thing or say the right thing. But whatever it is, Lord, we come before you and we just say sorry. Say sorry to you, Lord, and we turn back to you and turn away from the ways of this world. For the times when we've not shared each other's burdens or have kept our worries to ourselves, relying on our own strength, then rather than reaching out, we say sorry. At times we've not lived with new creation in mind, but have succumbed to old ways of legalism and judgment, not living out the freedom won for us in Christ Jesus, we say sorry. And Father, as we come before you, confessing these are sins, we seek and can know your forgiveness. The forgiveness through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, of his resurrection, his ascension, that brings that forgiveness, and he brings a victory, eternal life to us. So as we pray together, hear us now as we pray the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, and forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, there's no huge numbers of you. What do you take if you have a headache? Pills. Or maybe you take a tablet, yeah? Wee tablet. Sometimes we call them pills, sometimes they're tablets. What would you maybe do if you're a bit hungry? Have something to eat. Yeah. Have a bit of tablet. So you have a bit of tablet. You could have a bit of tablet. Some of us diabetics really can't. Training myself not to. But you know, one of the other things that I've got, and I work from all the time, is this, isn't it? Use this all the time. You know what that's called? A tablet. Are you confused yet? You get a tablet for your headache. You can take a bit of tablet if you're hungry or needing sugar fast. But you can use a tablet to do all sorts of things. It's amazing. And even in the Bible, do you know? I'm needing a slight. The tablet tomorrow. All right, okay. That's amazing how you can get that from back there. Like, where was I going? Bible. Thank you. There's someone who got a tablet in the Bible. Do we know who that is? Somebody got a tablet in the Bible. You don't know? You'll come in here a minute. TJ, you won't come out as well. You won't come out. You won't come down here for a moment. Here's a tablet that Moses got. Wait till you get this. You guys hold that for me. Oh. Deserve that. Maybe you won't hold it, but it's very heavy. Look, very heavy. So a tablet of stone, and so I don't like putting that there. I'm going to put that down there just now, and I'll risk assess and move it just in a minute. So Moses got two tablets of stone. He carried down the hill, down the mountain from God, and they had the commandments on them. And that's where we kind of get that expression, tablets of stone, because these were things that were there given to Moses. And we're going to look at the commandments over the next few weeks. But actually, the first start of the point is to realize just what it was that Moses started to carry down the stairs and when down the hill. And when we think about, I'm going to join in a minute. When we think of a tablet, we certainly don't think of big bits of stone. I'm going to ask you guys to go back to your seat before I have to fill in an incident form. Okay? You want to go back? Thank you, TJ. Thank you. Let's just have a moment of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the chaos. We thank you, Lord, that you can bring so much out of the chaos and the order of things. We thank you, too, Lord, that you gave your word to Moses and that through your written word now and through the living word, Jesus, we can follow what it was you said to Moses all these years ago. So, Lord, we ask that you would be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's rise as we can and sing, My Jesus, My Savior. let's just have a moment of blessing for our children, for those who teach. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for those you've called to teach and for those you've brought here to be taught. Lord, we just ask a blessing on our children and for those who come to share your word with them. Lord, we thank you. Give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Continue with our offering. So we come to our prayer points then as we approach our prayer from Ardrossan Presbytery, Largs Clark Memorial Church, and the Reverend David Watson, and also the Vacancy Procedure Committee, which David serves on for Presbytery. From Crossreach Prayer Diary, Threshold Support Services in Hamilton. They provide support to people who have learning disabilities and who are on the autistic spectrum in Lanarkshire. And their first prayer point there is to give thanks for all the clients who are progressing well towards achieving their identified outcomes. May they experience real encouragement as they reach their goals. And for Path of Renewal from Ross Presbytery, the congregations of Cromarty, Resolus and Urquhart, and the Reverend Terry Burns, Abernethy Presbytery, Laggan and Newtonmoor, the Reverend Catherine Buchan, and their mentor, the Reverend Mike Robertson, who's up at the Barn Culloden Church. As we come to our prayer, just to remember the things that we can give thanks for and we rejoice about, but also the things that are maybe a burden or a concern that we also have in our hearts, and a couple of things from this week is the whole situation around Iran, and also the last few days the earthquakes around California. So let's just join together as we pray for others. Let's pray. Lord our God, we come before you, for you are our God. We confess there is no other God before you. Father, as we pray together for your world, we give you thanks, we can rejoice in the work of your church, both here and across the world, sharing in the word that you've given us through Jesus Christ, sharing the love that you've shown to each one of us with those around us. Father, as we worship you this morning, we give you thanks for the good news stories of this week, the things that have lifted our hearts, the things that have been of encouragement. Maybe in things that just have reminded us that we are loved by you. We give you thanks too for the more difficult, the more challenging things that have happened. And Lord, sometimes we think you're far away, but other times we realize you're right there beside us. And so we give you thanks. We praise you. I give you thanks that in these difficult times, these challenging times, Jesus has said that he would be with us even to the end of the age. He left his spirit for us. And so we need never be on our own. As we pray for your church, we pray, Lord, that as the Church of Scotland moves through the radical plan, that we see how things are developing for you, for being the church, your church here in Scotland. And whilst we can be excited about the development of the church, we also know that comes with concerns and change. But we can be sure, Lord, for you're with us. And Father, we pray now, we pray for each one here, those who are on our left, those who are on our right, those who are in front of us or behind us, those who are seated above us or seated below us, those who are in another part of the building. Pray too for those who will maybe be listening in from a CD or from the internet later on. Some of these people we know and some we don't know, but Lord, we pray that your Spirit would touch each one at the point of need. We take a few minutes now, just a few moments now in silence, as we pray the prayers of our hearts and minds, the prayers that have been put upon us by the guiding and the nudging of your Holy Spirit. Hear us, Lord, then, in our prayers. Lord, of all the living, remember all whom we remember, forget none whom we forget. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Next hymn we're going to sing is Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. I was asked to say it the next time we played this or sang this, would the men just continue through on the chorus? Because you'll understand that a minister who could sing really well would just leave the microphone on. But I'm switching mine off. So the men, if we would sing out, and just as the women go through the hallelujahs, men, sing the verse. Yeah, men sing the verse as the women sing the hallelujahs. Got that right? Thank you. Let's rise to sing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Thank you. turn now to the Word, and as we hear the words, we dwell on the Word, we hear the Word read through a couple of times, and then we see the Word on the screen, and then we close, we sit and sing together a new commandment. And Jim is going to read first for us from Exodus 19.
At Mount Sinai, on the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourself have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites, the Ten Commandments." And God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery."
Prayers, and we just pray that the Holy Spirit is with us and he leads us and guides us into words and issues and points of things he wants us to hear in this reading of his word. And Finlay will read again. Thank you.
Exodus chapter 19 at Mount Sinai. On the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you in eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites, the Ten Commandments." And God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery."
Thank you.
Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we turn to you. I ask you now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that the perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue that I will be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. I pray that I'll be very, very clear, and that this will bring great honour and glory to your name. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So there was a rich man. He had everything that he needed. He had more than everything he needed. He actually almost had more than everything that he ever wanted. He had absolutely everything and thought in many ways that he was set for life. He didn't have a financial worry. He could buy whatever he needed, whenever he wanted. He had food. He had plenty of everything. And yet he recognized in the middle of all that, he was still missing something. And he went to the pastor. I asked this question. He said, I'm missing something here. And I'm not sure what it is, but I think it's this thing, kind of this eternal life thing. What do I need to do to get that? I've got everything else. What do I need to do? And the pastor replied, saying, well, you should follow the commandments. Keep the commandments. And he spoke about these commandments and said, honour your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Do not covet your neighbour's wife. Do not covet your neighbour's house. Do not covet your neighbour's stuff. Do not give false testimony. And I said, but I keep all that. What must I do to get that eternal life? And the pastor says, well then, you sell all your stuff. Sell all your possessions. Give it all to the poor. And then, the answer is the same, and then keep my commandments. But there's much more to it than this. This, of course, is a story. It could be a story of today, but this is the story we find in Matthew's Gospel of the rich man asking Jesus about eternal life. And it's interesting that Jesus speaks about the last section, the second section of the Ten Commandments. We'll look at this over the month a bit deeper, but he goes to that part of honor your father and mother, of do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not give false testimony, do not covet. But he doesn't mention any of the God stuff. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Keep the Sabbath, do not misuse his name. Jesus never mentions them. But the key for this is to read into it fully. The man was told to sell all his possessions and give them up to the poor, and then he'll have treasure in heaven. You see, the problem for the man is, and Jesus pointed this out, the problem for the man is all his stuff got in the road. His house, his animals, his family, all his possessions, they got in the road, all his money, and he could not see God properly and didn't have that focus. What Jesus was beginning to point out to this man was the sin of idolatry. And it's this idolatry that stops us from seeing the law as being fully his grace. It's this idolatry that prevents us from actually developing a full up relationship with the Father. You remember I've spoken before about the triangle and about our relationship with God in the up and with the church family or the close family at the in, and then the mission field at out. So this is the bit again about looking at a relationship with God, looking at the up relationship, And actually this idolatry or this focus on other stuff is the thing that stops us from seeing God and developing that full connection, that up connection with the Lord our God, who brought us, brought the people out of Egypt, brought us, so he brings us out of slavery. And so we need to start looking at what the Ten Commandments are. Not just what each commandment is and what it says, but actually what does it mean as a scripture passage? What was God saying? And what was he telling Moses when he wrote all these things on the tablet of stone? We redevelop our viewpoints over time, and there's things that sometimes, views that people have, that will stop us from connecting the up. Some people will tell us that that's all Old Testament, and we can disregard it. It doesn't count. It's all Old Testament. That was before Jesus. Doesn't matter. Ignore it. But Jesus says at Matthew 5, 17 and 18, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." So Jesus says, don't think I've come to abolish the law. All the stuff you got, I've come to fulfill it. And he speaks about the greatest commandment. And he's asked about the greatest in Matthew 22 and Mark 12. And he's asked, he speaks about the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul. And to love your neighbor as yourself. So he speaks about them. And when we look at the Ten Commandments, as we all do, we see that the Ten Commandments split. And there's one section that looks at a relationship with God, and the other section deals with love your neighbor, the in and the out. And so we begin to see what it is that Jesus is fulfilling. Some people will say the way to salvation, the way to know that you're saved, is to follow the law, to keep the law. And I would have to say to you, that as a retired policeman, I would say, for me, that's what you should do. You just follow the law. It's fine. The law's quite clear. The law's not always quite clear. But that's what you should do. Is just keep the law. It'll be fine. But this is not where we are. This is policing and obeying the civil laws, completely different from where we are thinking about these commandments. Obeying the commandments is not a way to salvation as some people think it is. That rich man kept the commandments, but actually still wasn't in that relationship with the Lord because he had so much stuff. So just following some of the commandments doesn't work. It's not the way to salvation. But what we begin to see and begin to unpack is it's a movement from law to grace. And Jesus helps to bring this out for us. First of all, God speaks about the commandments as a covenant. A covenant. And he gives them to Moses on two tablets of stone twice. And Moses breaks the first ones when he sees the people worshipping the golden calf. In his anger, he throws them down and they break, and he has to go back up to see the Lord. And he gets another two tablets. These commandments, this covenant, is a love gift from God. It's a gift from God because he loves us and he wants to transform us. And at Exodus 19:5, it's this: "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then you out of all nations will be my treasured possessions." Now if you obey me. So I just want to go a wee bit into some of the Hebrew here, because when you start to dig down into the Hebrew, we actually begin to understand some of the nuances of what this is. So the Hebrew language, what we see in the biblical Hebrew language, is not always very clear in these wee joining words, if, when, and, but. And so they can kind of be moved around, each one. And so there's a sense when it says, now if, when, now when, or whenever. That sense of, not just that if you do this, but when you do this. This is what's expected when you do this, then. Now if you obey, and the word obey, actually, in the Hebrew, obey me, it says, now if you obey me, and the Hebrew for obey me is shamo, or shamo. And it comes from the root of Shem and Shema, which we spoke about last week. The root of the word to hear, to listen, to respond, to obey. And the sense of it here is to heed, to listen, to hear, to pay close attention to. And that usually brings in to respond in conformity, so to follow, to respond. So what's being said here, now if you obey me, if you hear me, when you hear me, or when you respond to me, then, and you keep my covenant, then you, out of all nations, will be my treasured possessions. The commandments are not something to do to become Christian. They're not something to do to become a follower of Christ. They're not something to do to become saved, to be saved. They're actually a covenant to follow. If you, and I will. When you, and I will. So this has been put in place. This covenant is there for our response. And he's put this in, this love gift in, because he loves us. And he takes it further over the years, because we get the new covenant through Jesus Christ, who fulfills the commandments, the laws, in all that he's doing. And he brings to us salvation through the cross, through his death and his resurrection. In the transformation, as we follow Jesus Christ and our love for God and the power of the Holy Spirit, and the transformation is what we see in the commandments of how we will be and how we will develop. These are the things that we will think of first: to love God, to love our neighbor. These are the things to spend some time to ponder over, to memorize, and to commit to. But knowing that we're only human, we do make mistakes, but Jesus has come in his death and resurrection. He's brought us forgiveness, for God loves us. So as we think about the Ten Commandments, and we'll look, you say, over the next couple of weeks or so, a bit deeper into them, these are actually not things to achieve, but way of being when we follow God, when we obey him, and keep his commandments. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for your commandments. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus came to fulfill them, not to abolish them. And he leads us into the understanding of loving you and loving our neighbor. So, Father, as we worship, as we praise you, may we take these into our lives and be transformed by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's rise, we can, to sing together, "Come, People of the Risen King."
Church of Christ.
Heavenly Father, as we begin to leave this place, may your Spirit rest with us. May he follow us and lead us and guide us. And may your words be our guiding light. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one, now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. As we sing peace to you, let's share that peace with each other, whatever way we feel comfortable.